The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, I think we ought to just say amen and keep talking. I don't know if I have anything to add. I do have the... Where's that first slide, Jim? I've forgotten how to work this thing already.
Okay, I got it.
Bang. Oh, I'm sorry. There we go. Excuse me. Now, last week I was sitting in my office and I was asking the Lord what He wanted for today, and I was kind of going through some files and stuff, and I ran across this that I wrote last year, and I'm sure this is not original. This is probably something that I read somewhere and I jotted it down, but I thought it was worth sharing with you. And I wrote... I wouldn't have stopped to read it had I not written March the 2nd, 2012. I'm 65 today. And this is what the Lord gave me on that day. He said, the journey is the destination. The journey itself is the destination. And sometimes we're so looking forward to getting to some goal out there that we miss what's going on in the moment. Life is not a task to be completed. The purpose of each day isn't just to make it to the next day. Life isn't a race to the end, but rather a gift given moment by moment. So live in the moment, don't miss it, and see God in everything. I thought it was interesting that Rose is talking about the desert. You know, a while back I heard someone say that, you know, that when Jesus went out into the wilderness, of course there weren't any TVs back then, too much distraction, but in the wilderness there is no distraction at all, is it? So it's not a bad place to go. It's not a bad place to be, because most of the time it's there that we really hear the Father more than than any other time. I think I'm going to share some things with you today that you already know, and maybe we just need to be reminded of them sometimes. But if I was going to give a title of this, it would be Quiet Service with Eternal Value. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, he said, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So many times we're dependent on other people, and we're constantly kind of, you know, shooting this little radar out there, wanting it to bounce back to see whether or not we're acceptable, whether we're doing okay or not. And I think a lot of times we as believers probably wonder if we're making much of an impact, we're making much of a difference in this world. And what I want to tell you today is this, and you've already been singing it, you've already been saying it, your Heavenly Father is proud of you, Rose, right where you are. He's so proud of you. You know, I think about the song that we sang, and Ro, boy, the music's just wonderful. The whole group of you, that just was really wonderful. Thank you. When you think about Him calling your name, you know, I'm just standing up here right now, and when I say Rose, that kind of perks Rose up. She listens, she pays attention, and it's really a precious, wonderful thing when somebody knows your name, isn't it? I was so embarrassed the other night. Sharon and I were having dinner with another couple at a restaurant here in town. This young lady walked up to me and had her two daughters with her, and she said, "Hey, how are you?" and hugged me. And I had met with her and her husband several times, and for the life of me, I couldn't remember her name. But I remember it now. I'll always remember it. But isn't it a great thing to know that God has called you by name? He's called you out, and he says, "You're my own, and I am so pleased with you." And the reason he's pleased with you is because Jesus paid an incredible price, to announce to you your innocence before God. Isn't it a great thing to know that as you stand before God, you stand there innocent? So it isn't because of what you do, it's because that you belong to him. I don't even know whether I should say this or not. Probably. I guess I will. I don't know about you, but sometimes you see a little baby that's newborn, and if it doesn't belong to you, my first thought is, that is the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. And we had a friend came by our house the other day and had his brand new little daughter with him. And she was in a stroller, and he pulled the thing back, and I thought, "Oh, my Lord, that is ugly." But you know what? He was just beaming. And in his heart, that was the most beautiful little girl he'd ever seen. And it didn't take me long to catch on, you know, and I began to agree with him. And I still thought she's pretty ugly. I'm sure she'll get better as she fills out and all the wrinkles go away and all that. But we look at our own children and we think they're just wonderful. They're precious. And do you know that's what God, how God feels about you? He loves you more than you can even know. I like this verse in 1 Peter 1:3-4. It says, "Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." So what is the precious promise? What is the promise? The promise is the Holy Spirit, is Jesus, is God, it's his presence in your life. That's his promise. And there's so many times we connect the blessings of God with stuff and things until we miss the greater promise, which is his very presence in our life. It's him. It's a relationship with him. So I want to just share with you two or three things that just might be encouraging today. First thing is this. Remember that you don't always know the good that you do. There's a fellow by the name of Charles Adams who was a diplomat in the 19th century. And one day he entered in his journal, "I went fishing with my son today. A day wasted." His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence. And on that same day, Brooke Adams made this entry. "Went fishing with my father today." The most wonderful day of my life. Father thought he was wasting his time. The little boy didn't. So you know what? Dads and moms and all of us, we're probably going to be really surprised when we get there one day and people walk up to us and thank us for a hug or a pat on the back. You see, the goal of our life is this, is simply to recognize God, just to recognize him in everything. and to realize that branches do not produce fruit. They bear fruit. And the only way they can bear fruit is if they're connected to the vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branch. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So just abide in me. And if you will abide in me, ask anything and I'll do it. Isn't that wonderful? There's the rest. There's the rest that Rose is talking about. Just rest. Abiding in Christ is just recognizing and resting in His provisions, not in mine. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for momentary and light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. Things that are not seen. And I would argue that as we go about our daily life every day, then we walk through things that are not seen and we don't see them, but God does. And things are happening on an eternal level that are beyond our comprehension. And that's a good thing, isn't it? So I don't have to worry about being busy. I remember about a year ago, I called my buddy Tom Grady in Atlanta, and I said, Tom, he does the same thing I do up there in Atlanta, only probably much better. And he's just kind of an older, not that much older, I think he's a year or two older than me, but he's kind of an older brother, kind of been a mentor for me. And I called him, I said, Tom, I only have three people that I'm counseling this week. Now, mind you, when I first started 13 years ago, I had like 20. And I thought that if I got below 20, I wasn't really doing my job. And it almost burned me out in a pretty short period of time. So I told him, I said, I only have three people this week, and I'm just kind of concerned about it. And he says, Jim, does that really bother you? Does that really bother you? You see, I've been on a performance kick all my life, and I still have brought some of that baggage and some of that garbage into the Christian life where I think that I need to be performing, I need to be producing something for God in order to be accepted by Him. But you know who I'm trying to be accepted by? Other people. And that's not the answer, is it? That's not the answer. So, you know, okay, it's okay with me if I only have three people or if I have none. Years ago, I remember, I guess maybe 25 years ago, when I was making a transition from what I call professional ministry into wandering around, being an itinerant, I was just questioning God, and I said, I'll probably never have a congregation, never have a large congregation. I'll never really be as significant as a lot of other people that I know. And the answer that God gave me was this. Would it be okay with you, Jim, if I never gave you anybody to minister to, but you could just hang out with me? Well, that is a profound question for me. Because most of us feel like we need something to do in order to be important. We need to have some kind of knowledge. We need to have something extra. And the burden that I have in coming here is that a lot of times I feel like, man, I just need to give you a nice, good piece of meat to chew on. And God just said to me while I was sitting there, maybe they've already had the meat today, I think, you know. Pretty sure they have. So I'm not under any pressure to have to perform for you. And that really takes the load off, doesn't it? We don't feel like we're pressured. A momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. Don't compare yourself with other people. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. What a profound statement that Paul made. He was speaking to the Corinthians. You know, there was all the stuff going on in the church there, and they were arguing about where one was from Paul, one from was Apollos, and, you know, and who's the most important, and this, that, and the other. And he said, it's none of that. For those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're without understanding. You know, there's some things that are true, but they're not truth. There's some things that are true, but they're not truth. There was an old rooster, and he had a bunch of hens, and he looked over in the next field, and he saw something big over there, and he said, girls, I don't mean to be critical, but look what those hens are laying over in that other field next to us. What he didn't know, he was looking at a softball that had been thrown in somebody else's yard. So what looked to be true wasn't really the truth. How many times do we engage with other people and we think something to be true, but it's really not the truth because we're making an assumption based on our opinion, which is based on something that's not the truth? How about relationships with others? Never forget the time I was telling my grandkids about this the other day when I was a kid, and I think I've told you about this. I was going to baseball practice in the springtime before school was out with all the rest of the kids, and I didn't realize that I wasn't old enough to play. And the day that the coach came to give the uniforms out, I didn't get one. And the truth was, I wasn't old enough. But what was true was that I thought I was really rejected. And I got on my little bicycle and I took a back road home, and I'm sure I cried most of the way and didn't want to tell anybody about it, didn't want to be around. You know, that stuck with me most of my life until a few years ago. I was speaking to a group in North Carolina, and God had just given me this little, I just was sharing this little story with them. And all of a sudden, God said to me while I was speaking, he says, Jim, I've been trying to give you your uniform all your life, and you won't take it. You see, he wants to clothe us with his presence. And if I'm busy about trying to do things on my own, trying to figure out everything on my own, how can I be clothed? How can I receive it? So one of the most difficult things for the world, it's impossible. But believers tend to carry this little baggage along with us into our Christian life, and that is, well, it's really pride, isn't it? Not being able to receive a gift. The gift of righteousness. The gift that Jesus has made you right with God. Nothing will ever stand between you and God. Nothing. He's declared that. He's made that known. So there are some things that seem to be true, but they're not truth. And if they don't end at the feet of Jesus, you need to question it, huh? We need to question it. Well, number three. I have 3 points, Morris, but I don't have a poem. Know that your Father will see to it that you fulfill the plans that he has for you. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Guess what the good works are? The good work is just abiding in Christ. It's trusting him. Is walking by faith. every day, every moment of every day. It's not trying to build a kingdom on our own. It's not trying to make ourselves right with God. It's not working and toiling. It's resting in Him. I'm getting a hum up here, I think. I don't know whether you hear it back there or not. So He's prepared good works in advance for us to fulfill, and it isn't up to us to manufacture good works. You remember Abraham and Sarah? They produced Ishmael. God had given them something, told them something was going to happen, and they get busy trying to make it happen. It was God's gift and God's grace and God Himself who did the impossible when he opened Sarah's womb and brought forth Isaac, the promise. Our good works are not our gift to God. They are His gift to us. It's fun to have something to do, isn't it? It's fun to see Him involved in it and see things accomplished that maybe you know that you get past it, you know you couldn't have accomplished it yourself. This fellowship here is a result of God's work through you, isn't it? That you're so happy to be here. Same book, Philippians, I'm sorry, it says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His own good pleasure." And He who started the work in you will complete it. He will. Isn't that satisfying to know that it's going to be completed? I think sometimes we think that we've got to walk through this life working at trying to be sanctified, and all of a sudden we're going to get to the end and we're going to, bam, be sanctified, and then we'll go to heaven. You know, the truth is you're sanctified right now. The moment you receive the gift of His life, you were sanctified. So the key, I think, is to abandon self-consciousness, and trust Him. I have a little book that I've shared with people a good bit, and it's called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. And it's by a fellow named Timothy Keller, who's a pastor that I recommend if you ever get a chance to listen to him. He has a church in New York City. In this book, he's talking about the freedom of forgetting self and what we tend to do in life in order to earn acceptance and earn worth and all that. And he says, let me give you, empty, painful, busy, and therefore fragile. Ever feel that way? Let me give you a perfect example of this. I'm not trying to lift her up as being worse than other people at all. She actually shows a tremendous amount of self-awareness, and I have a lot of admiration for her. But if you want a perfect example of what I'm talking about, here's an excerpt from an interview with Madonna in Vogue magazine some time ago where she is talking about her career. And he says, "I'm not promoting Madonna, and I'm not either, but here's what she said. My drive in life comes from a fear of being mediocre that is always pushing me. I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human being, but then I feel I am still mediocre and uninteresting unless I do something else. Because even though I have become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and I guess it never will." That's the world. That's much of Christianity today, too, isn't it? I don't know whether you can identify with that. But our struggle is not that, is it? That's living under the curse that Jesus died for. And I almost did something totally different this morning because my mind has been on something else. I'm just not prepared enough to share it with you. Maybe one day I will. Been thinking a lot about what we have been redeemed from. You've been purchased from something. It says in Galatians chapter 3, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse." Do you see where she was? Where many of us are? We're under the works of the law. We're trying to perform. We can't even perform up to our own standards a lot of time because our standard is seemingly above what God's is. And we can never be satisfied. We can never rest with what we have. It says, for as many as the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. And here's what we redeemed from. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, which is us, so that we might receive the promise, the Spirit, through faith. That we might receive the promise, which is God's Spirit, through faith in Him, through resting in Him. I think that's been the theme for this morning, starting with what Rowan and were singing. Yeah. So I guess God was at work before we got here, kind of knew what was going on. I didn't need my little scratch board at all, and just left it over to the side. So I hope you're not disappointed, but we're going to pray, and that'll be it. Father, thank you for being here. Thank you for blessing us with your Spirit, with your life. For there's only one life, and that life is yours, and you have given it to us. And we find ourselves in Christ, being blessed beyond all measure, even in the heavenly realms. You have spoken so well of each one of us in the heavenly realms. And we're just blown away by that. It's beyond our comprehension to know that you have spoken well of each one of us. So I pray that as we leave here today, we might leave satisfied knowing that we have a Father on Father's Day that transcends any father that we've ever known, and that we can rest in you, and that you love us with a love that's beyond our understanding that we can rest in. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I bless my brothers and sisters here as I leave and declare their innocence before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for that. Amen. You know, Jim, you're so right about so many things. And if, you know, as someone who has the privilege of expounding the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, it's such a temptation to fall into an old pattern of trying to modify your behavior, you know. Sometimes, Jim, I don't know that God wants some of us to change. I think He likes us the way we are, you know. And it's our job is to present the truth and let the truth do its work in you. You know, and by definition, the truth is Christ Himself. He's not a truth, He's the truth. And He's much better at doing that than either Jim or myself or any other person who stands up before people to expound the Word of God. I know Jim has told me that as a counselor, many times people come to you and they want you to tell them what to do. And you disappoint them so sorely because you keep telling them what the Word of God says and let God tell them what to do. And that's sometimes a difficult task because we're so busy trying to figure ourselves out and who we are. And Madonna set her own standards. But the most, I think, life-changing truth is this: that God loves us just as we are. And there's nothing you're going to do to make Him love you anymore. And I know we try, and I'm guilty of that myself. You know, if I just did one more thing better, you know, if I just tweaked this and made it better, you know, that in some way, in some sinister way, I think that God would be pleased with me. The truth is, he's already pleased. You know, I care about stuff and fret like you care about stuff and fret, but God's not fretting. It says that God demonstrated just how much he loves you the way you are, that while you were still in your sins, Christ died for you. What a marvelous thought that is. That he didn't even try to clean you up. He just took you the way you were and gave you something that you never deserved. How could sinless deity take residence within you is a mystery beyond comprehension. And not only did he give you righteousness, and I talked about this some time back, a real revelation in me, Jim. You know, we talk about being righteous in Christ. The scripture says that we have the righteousness of God. It's not even our something that we have. It's him in us. We are as righteous as God himself is in Christ. And you think about that for a while. That's a marvelous, marvelous thought. However righteous God is, that's how righteous you are. Man, that's big. As Jesus is, so are we in the world. Wow, what a thought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to let you be dismissed in the name of the Lord. The Lord God, watch over you. Have a great Father's Day. Don't eat anything that'll hurt you. In Jesus' name. Bye-bye.